in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word. Amen. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to a public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, back in the 1960s and 70s, a biblical scholar by the name of Christer Stendahl taught a wildly popular course in preaching at Harvard Divinity School. Now, like most preaching courses, Stendahl's class was designed to help young seminarians take a biblical text and study it and tear it apart and, well, eventually develop it into a message that could be preached on a Sunday morning. Now, the story goes, on the first day of class, Stendahl would always give his students one rule for preaching that under no circumstance could ever be broken during the course of the semester. Stendahl's rule for preaching was this. He told his students they were not allowed to utter the word love in their sermon unless the word love was actually in the biblical text. No love in the Bible, no love in the sermon. Now, why? Well, Stendahl created this rule for his students because he believed most preachers, especially American preachers, had a tendency to abuse the word love and misuse it. They would overly sentimentalize it, treat it in a very banal way. Love became nothing more than a theological marshmallow. It was sugary and sweet on the outside. It was ooey gooey on the inside. It was something you could consume all day long, but it was something that would never really fill you up. So Stendahl created his rule to rid sermons of the word love. No love in the scripture, no love in the sermon. Now, this rule proves to be a problem for me this morning. And why? Well, it's because I agreed to preach on the topic of love before I realized the word love, it is not mentioned anywhere in the Christmas story. Go back and look for yourself. Now, read the Gospels if you like. You'll see it is not there at all. Love is not mentioned once. Mary never says she loves Jesus. God never says he loves Mary. Gabriel never said he loved the shepherds. And of course, the shepherds didn't mention any love they had for the Holy Family. It's just not there. In fact, the word love isn't actually mentioned in the Gospels till Jesus is about 30 years old. Even in passages of Scripture where you're certain it must be present, you're not going to find it. Like the passage we read this morning, the story of Joseph. Matthew tells us that Joseph was engaged to Mary. He had pledged his life to her. He had entered into a legal contract with her to be there with her for better or worse, in richer and in poor, in sickness and in health. But nowhere in Matthew's gospel does it ever say Joseph loved Mary. Isn't that strange? I mean, it makes you wonder, why isn't love talked about in the Christmas story? After all, isn't this the season of love? Don't we talk about how love came down at Christmas? Don't we light the love Advent candle? Don't we sing, Silent Night, Holy Night, Son of God loves pure light. So why is it not there? You know, sometimes it can be difficult to find love at Christmas. I remember talking with a woman once and asking her if she was looking forward to the Christmas holiday. She surprised me when she said, you know, not really. She said, I don't come from the most functional of families. And well, every time we come together and we're all under the same roof, I swear everyone goes crazy. And well, the entire holiday just turns out so stressful. The entire holiday, it becomes so very tense. Yes, where's the love at Christmas? Is it there? Is love present in this Christmas season? Well, you know, I think the answer to that question actually depends on how you choose to define the word love, because, of course, there's not just one definition for what love is. Now, if you think of love as some kind of gooey feeling, some kind of emotion on the inside, well, the truth is you won't find it anywhere in the Christmas story. There's no banal sentimentalism in the Bible after all. But if love for you is something different, if love were more of a decision, a choice you make, even when times get hard, well, then love is found throughout the Christmas story. How does Joseph love his wife? Well, it's obvious. He does the hard thing. The scripture says he chooses to care for Mary even when times get tough. Don't forget, if Mary's pregnancy had been discovered, if she had been found out, well, she could have faced the ultimate penalty. She could have been stoned to death. Joseph didn't have to stay around. He didn't have to stick his neck out for her, but he did. He loved her. He took Mary as his wife. He protected her from shame, not with mere sentimentalism. He loved her. Well, with action. Love, after all, it's not just a noun. Love is a verb. It's something we do. It's a decision we make. Theologian Frederick Buechner put it this way once. He said, you know, love is not the feeling we have during the marriage ceremony, nor is it the romantic candlelit dinner for two. No, Buechner says, real love comes into play when the sink is full of dirty dishes and the bills haven't been paid and it's 2 a.m. and the baby starts crying and someone has to get up and change a diaper, but your spouse has a head cold and you really don't want to get out of bed. Those moments, he said. Well, those moments are where real love is found. It's love. Love, it's a choice we make. It's a decision to go out there and to do the right things, even when we don't feel like it. Because here's the thing, feelings, they come and they go. They're as fickle as the wind. Emotions are here one day, they are gone the next. The scripture says love never ends. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And why? It's because no matter how you are feeling, no matter what emotions are bubbling up on the inside, you can still choose love. It's a decision you still get to make. It made me know the story of Mark Bustos. That high-priced hairstylist from Manhattan who works at one of the most elite salons in the East Village. Now, 6 days a week, Mark charges hundreds of dollars for sittings to cut hair of some of the most influential people in the city. Nora Jones, Marc Jacobs, Philip Lim, they all go to Mark to have their hair cut. But on Sunday morning, Mark Bustos packs up his scissors, his comb, and his dry shampoo, and he heads out to the streets of Midtown. and he'll wander through Union Square and the Lower East Side. And he'll find homeless men and he'll find homeless women and he'll offer to cut their hair. Individuals who haven't experienced the touch of a barber in years suddenly find themselves in the hands of the master. Why does he do it? Why does he just give away his financial livelihood like that? Well, Mark says this. He says, it's because I know how good getting a haircut makes me feel. And he says, I want my brothers and my sisters on the street to feel the exact same way. Yes, love, it's a decision you make. It's something you do. It's a choice where you put someone else's needs ahead of your own. Even when life gets stressful, even when everyone goes a little bit crazy, love, it is still there. It happens when you look someone else in the eye, you see their pain, and you choose to do something about it. Joseph loved Mary. And he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. She bore him a son, and he named him Jesus. Yes, that is where you will find love this Christmas season. That is where you will find love in this Christmas story. You will find it in the courageous, everyday decisions you and I make when we show up. We do the right thing. Yes, love came down at Christmas. In his book, Let Your Life Speak, an author by the name of Parker Palmer writes about a time in his life when he experienced a deep sadness, he said, that seemed to come out of nowhere. Now, there was no traumatic event that seemed to trigger this depression for him. It just appeared one day, he said. He called it the snake pit of his soul, a place where all light and all hope was lost. Parker said for weeks and then for months, he couldn't even get out of bed. He said people would try to call his house, but he would just let the phone ring. It would just go to voicemail. He couldn't find the strength to even answer. Finally, one day when things got bad enough, Parker's friends decided to show up at the house. One man came late in the afternoon. He came knocking on the door, and there he found Parker sitting in a chair. And silently, without saying a word, he knelt down, and he untied his shoes. And for half an hour, he massaged his feet. Parker said his feet was the only part of his body where he could still experience feeling. So every day, the man showed up after work. Every day, he did the same thing. He'd come by the chair. He would kneel. He would take off Parker's shoes, and he would rub his feet. And Parker said this of his friends. He said, he stood at the border of my solitude, and he gave me something deeper than any human could give. He gave me God's love in a way I had never experienced before. Yes, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It rejoices in the truth. So here's my challenge for you today. My challenge for you today is that you would choose love this Advent season, even when you don't feel like it. That you would make a decision to show up anyway. Here's my promise. It's in those holy moments where real love will be found. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that indeed you made a decision. You made a choice. You didn't simply love us with sentimentalism. God, you came down to walk among us, to give us life and give it in abundance. And so we pray, O Lord, that our lives would speak as well the goodness of your love, that where we go, we might embody the love of Joseph, that we might live courageously for you, and sharing that gift with others. For we know, O Lord, you are the giver of all good things. You are the giver of love. Amen.